Throughout history, there have been moments in this world and moments that have changed everything. And it's really pivotal moments in the church or in the world. And that's when Jesus came into the picture. The world's never been the same since Jesus came into the picture. Even outside the Bible, you can read historical writings and the world changed when Jesus came into the picture. No, there's no other figure in history that changed the world like Jesus did. Whether you believe in Him or not, whether you put your faith and trust in Him, the world changed when Jesus came into the picture. Amen? It's an amazing thing, and people that deny that, I tell you, I have a tough time with how can you deny that? You just can't. When you read the Scripture, when you read outside in historical facts, Jesus is real. And this week, you know, this day, we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and that was one of those moments that changed everything. It was a turning point of not just Jesus' earthly ministry, but for all humanity. And in John 12:12-36, Jesus enters Jerusalem to the shouts of praises from the crowds, and yet he knows that the cross is near. The cross awaits him. He speaks of his purpose during this time and his sacrifice and his call to the people to walk in his light. And today, really, that same invitation is for us, is to walk in the light of Jesus. And I would ask you this morning, will you choose to walk in the light of Jesus today? Will you choose to walk in the light of Jesus tomorrow? When things are good and when things are not so good, because let me tell you, we are all aware that there's the not so good things in this world that we live in. Jesus knew the cross was coming. He knew that it wasn't going to be good. He knew it was going to be good later, right? In John 12:12-36, reading here it says, put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of that light. And when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. I love that. Put your trust in the light while you still have it. You think about that. As long as we have breath, we put our trust in the light until we don't have it anymore. Because then a decision is made, not by us, it's made by God, right? We have to recognize who this Jesus is. He is the King. It says they shouted and they said, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King as he come into Jerusalem. Hail of the King of Israel. The people in Jerusalem thought they knew who Jesus was. And I would ask you that this morning. Do you know who Jesus is? They welcomed him really as a political figure. As a political king, a military leader. They thought he would come and raise up a great army and take over. Kick out Rome. But Jesus was not coming to reign over the earthly kingdom at this time. He was coming to reign over hearts and to bring salvation to all who believed. Amen? That hasn't changed, has it? He came as a humble servant. And in John 12:13 there, the crowd shouted, praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. And that, when you look at Psalms 118, chapter or 118:25-26, that comes right straight from there. It's a messianic prophecy. And the Greek word there used for praise God is Hosanna. That's what we, Hosanna, we sing that song, Hosanna. It's a cry that means save us now. Amen? When we sing that song, Hosanna, it means save us now. Man, that's a good thought, isn't it? We pray that every day. Lord, save us now. Save us from what? Save us from ourselves. One, right? Because sometimes, you know, if we could just get ourselves out of the way, we'd be a lot better off. Right? We blame the world for everything, but most of the time it's ourselves. I mean, I'm serious. I have a big foot and a big mouth. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It fits all the way to the kneecap. Lord, help me. The people were calling to bring immediate deliverance, but they did not understand what kind of salvation He had to bring. You know, how often do we like the crowd? You know, we want Jesus to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to fix our problems, right? We, Lord, fix our problems. We want You to fix our problems. But we want Him to fix our problems our way. But Jesus is not a king who just grants wishes like a genie in the bottle. He's a sovereign Lord who brings the truth and the truth of this eternal salvation that He alone can bring. Jesus is not merely a king with power. Amen? He's the king who comes to die for His people. And that's why we have to surrender to who Jesus truly is and not just who He was or who we want Him to be. You know, there's a lot of people who try to create a new Jesus in their lives. They edit the Scripture. And I've talked about that. I preached a little bit about editing Jesus. We try to edit out those things to try to make a new Jesus to fit our narrative of our life so that He can fix our problems and justify our life. But we have to surrender to who Jesus truly is. And that's truly the heart of the whole gospel, is our surrendering to Him. And how many times do we do that? Every day. Every day. Why do I say that? Because that's what Paul even preached. Here in the world, kings wield power to rule and conquer and dominate. They expect their subjects to serve them, to give their lives for the kingdom. But Jesus is, He's a different kind of king, and He didn't come to take life, He came to give it. You hear me? He came to give you eternal life. And we get caught up in this world that we live in because we want this world to be such a great place, and sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But let me tell you, the eternal kingdom is great and good and perfect. Amen. And that's what He gives to us. Jesus was a servant king who came to die, and he's the true king, and He chose the cross over a throne. He chose to suffer over splendor, and He chose sacrifice over self-preservation. He chose it. He chose a crown of thorns and not a crown of gold. And He chose the nail-driven hands over a golden scepter. His robe was soaked in blood and not woven in silk. And why did he do this? Because he came to rescue us. Jesus is this king that's unlike any other king, isn't it? Isn't he? Jesus himself, he declares there in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's why he came. Most kings demand tribute, and Jesus pays our debt. Amen. Most kings send soldiers to fight for them, and Jesus fights the battle alone and wins eternal victory for us. So what's that mean for you in your life? You asked that question this morning. What's it mean for you in your life? If Jesus is not just the king of power, but a king who dies for us, then we cannot treat him as just another religious leader, can we? He is a Savior. He is the King of Kings, and we must either bow before Him in worship or reject Him entirely. You hear me? There's no middle ground. There's no lukewarmness. There's no gray areas when it comes to serving Christ. You're either serving Him or you're not. You're either with Him or against Him. And I would ask you, have you really recognized Jesus as your King? Is Jesus really the King of your life? Is He really your Savior? Have you really embraced the thought that He did die for you? If He's your King, then live for Him. Amen? And when you live for Him, you love Him. And you follow Him because He gave everything for you. And me. Right? So we have to understand the purpose of the cross. We're just a week away. Passover starts here this week. We'll celebrate that. We'll sit together and commune together on Friday, have communion, have a meal together in remembrance. In John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24 again, Jesus declares, "Now is the time. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Amen? You think about that. Yeah, that's right. Jesus uses these agricultural illustrations all the time in the Scripture. He says a seed must die to produce life, and I just planted some seeds yesterday. Made me think about this. I was planting, you know, these sweet peas and snap peas, and they just look like little shriveled up nothing. Like, how in the world does life come from this shriveled up piece of nothing here? But once it was just a little plump little pea, you know, that we like to eat. But it had to shrivel and die. It's amazing. A seed's got to die to produce life, and in the same way, He had to die so that we may live. Right. And that word, I like to look at Greek definitions. That word planted in the Greek, it means to fall or collapse under weight of something. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, He willingly fell under the weight of sin and death so that we could be raised to life. Think of that. You plant a seed. You poke it down in the ground. Cover up a little soil, then you tamp it down so that it gets completely in contact with the soil, right? It gets buried by the weight so that it can be raised up to life. A little bit of water, a little bit of sunshine, and it sprouts into something. There's a whole sermon in that. You know, it grows up, becomes mature, starts producing fruit. Amen? I wonder what he was talking about. I wonder what that means, right? Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that a powerful statement? We've gone our own way. There's a whole sermon in that right there. Jesus died even though we didn't deserve it. Jesus knew His mission. Do you know yours? He came to die so that we might live. What did He say? Take up your cross and follow Me. There's no greater love than for one to lay down their life for their what? Yeah. Their neighbor, their friend, their family. I think about what Jesus did, and I think that I wonder, do we really understand what Jesus did for us? Do you really understand what Jesus did for you? And I say this, I got it written down, I just heard it mumbled out there. Not just in your head. Because a lot of people have knowledge that Jesus existed. A lot of people have knowledge that they believe that Jesus was real, but it goes way beyond that. I've never met a president. The current president, the previous president, thank God, oh no. We go on back. I mean, I've never met a president. I believe he's real. But let me tell you what I don't do. I don't put my faith in any of them. Amen? I don't bow down to any of them. They are not my Lord. They are not my King. Amen? Only Jesus. It's more than a head knowledge. Do I believe He's real? Yeah. Absolutely. Where am I at? Lost my place. So the question following all that is, have you come to comprehend Jesus in your heart? Is Jesus in your heart? Is He in your life? Is He there with you? Do you know He's real? Because you just know inside. Nobody has to tell you. Amen? That's been a question asked for thousands of years. How do you know you're saved? Well, you just know. Nobody has to tell you. Amen? Because you've comprehended Him by faith in your heart, and He's done a mighty work inside of you. And guess what? Things start to change in your life, and you become a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away, right? The world around you, people start to notice something's different about that dude or dudette, right? Not the same as they used to be. They don't go the same place. They don't do the same things. Why? Because Jesus is in charge of your life. King of your heart. We sing that song, "Let the King of My Heart." Such a beautiful song. I ask you, have you accepted His sacrifice? Because He gave His life for you. The cross was not an accident. It was the plan of God from the beginning, and it was for all of us before the foundations of the earth. The cross was never a mistake or an afterthought. It was God's sovereign plan from the very beginning. And from the moment sin entered the world, God's plan for redemption was already in motion. It's hard to comprehend that. But when we look in the last book of the Bible, even John writes this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus is the one who is, the one who was, and the one that is to come. Right? I'm sorry, I didn't give that one to Verna. So it tells us in Revelation 13, verse 8, that the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was ever made. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belong to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. You hear that? Wow. Man. I think about how so many, you know, it wasn't just a Roman execution, it was the fulfillment of prophecy. And that's the very heart of God's love for each of us. Jesus willingly walked the path to Calvary. Not because He had to, but because He chose to for you. Amen? And He asks us to walk that same walk. We have free will. We have a choice to make. You either choose to walk to Calvary with Jesus or not. Not because you just have to, but because you want to. We don't serve Jesus out of religious obligation. We serve Jesus because He is the King of our hearts. And we love Him. And it draws us to obedience. It's not a set of rules. That's why the Old Testament rules... Wow. Brother Keeley and I was having a conversation about the... Praise God, we don't have to obey those 600 and something laws. Good grief. It's impossible for you to do it all right. And then Jesus comes and He says, guess what? Let me take that yoke. Let me take all your burden. Let me just take all that away and let me show you something. I'm going to fix this for you. And the last words He spoke, it's finished. Amen. I completed everything. It's done. The nails did not hold Him to the cross. His love did. That was God's plan from the beginning. He didn't have to do that. This was God's plan. A plan to rescue you and I. A plan to redeem you and I. And a plan to bring us home to eternity with Him. And I would ask you this morning, have you accepted His gift of salvation today? Amen? I accept it every day. Every day. We have to continue to walk in the light of Jesus. And as Jesus neared the cross, He warned the people in John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. He says this, walk in the light while you can, so that darkness will not overtake you. Think about that for a moment. Walk in the light while you can. To me, that's the most profound words right there. Because we all make that choice, right? I don't know if you've ever tried to walk around in the dark. I've been in a cave before. You ever go on a cave tour? They get you down there really in the deepest part of the cave, and then they shut the lights off. And you can't see anything. I can imagine that's what hell's like, really. Walking in darkness, your life filled with sin, you're just black. You can't see anything good until you bump your head on the cave ceiling or something. Those who walk in darkness cannot see where they're going. And that's why we have to put our trust in the light while there's still time. And then you'll become children of the light. Amen? That's what the Scripture teaches us. That word light in the Greek, that word there, it's phos or phos. It means not just a physical light, but a divine illumination. The light of truth and righteousness. We miss so much by not looking at the Greek translations. You really, those Greek definitions of words just bring everything to light, no pun intended. John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. You hear that? No one should stay in darkness. No one. Darkness here represents sin and separation from God and spiritual blindness. And if we reject the light of Jesus, we remain in darkness. And Jesus is the light that leads us to eternal life. And I would say this, will you follow Him today? I think of the old illustration of that lighthouse that stands as a warning and a guide for safe travels on the sea, but a lighthouse doesn't force the ship to safety. The Savior there, the sailor must choose to follow its light and risk being lost. Amen? You think about that. We choose to follow the light or risk being lost. Jesus is the light of the world, and He doesn't merely show the way. He is the way. Amen? He is the way, the truth, the light. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And I think just as the sailor, we got to respond. We must choose to follow Jesus. And I think if we ignore the light, it is a risk of being lost and the sea of darkness and eternal destruction. Look at that John 12:46. It confirms it. He says, I've come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I love that. This world's filled with sin and doubt and fear that threatens to pull us under, but Jesus, He shines so brightly. He offers us salvation and hope and eternal life. Amen? I figured somebody'd jump up and clap their hands over that. Amen. This is Palm Sunday. We're supposed to shout Hosanna. Amen. I remember as a little kid, we'd get palm branches and run around the church house shaking them, you know. And I would say, will you follow His light or will you risk being lost forever? So I'm going to finish up here this morning. I'm going to challenge you to follow the King. Not like the protesters are out there protesting against no kings. Because there's a great example right there. They don't want to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That no king goes a lot deeper than what there's. I'm not going to get there right there today. But He says, take up your cross and follow the light. And the people in Jerusalem, when they saw Jesus, they didn't truly see Jesus. They called Him King, but rejected His rule. And they cried, Hosanna, but they didn't understand His salvation that He was bringing. They saw the light, but many chose to remain in darkness too. They still do today. And I would say, will you recognize Jesus as your King? Will you accept the power of the cross in your life? And will you walk in the light of Christ, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace? And I maybe you've been in church a long time, but maybe you really never surrendered your life to the King. And I would say now's the time to do so. We've been talking about the second coming a lot. We've been talking about the rapture of the church. And let me tell you, one of these days, I feel it in my bones. One of these days, man, there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. There's going to be a shout, and Jesus is going to appear. And He says, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. When? All the time. Amen. Because you never know. But walking in the light of Christ means that we got to turn away from our sin and trust Jesus as our Savior. We got to step into His light and step into the truth and love. We got to love and we got to accept the eternal life that He provides. And so I'm going to leave you. Open up your hearts today. Confess your need for Him and receive the gift of salvation. Because that door of grace is open to every one of us. Amen? Lo, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone, now listen to this. He didn't say, I'll open the door and let you in. Until you did one thing, right? What is that? If anyone will open the door, I will come in. Amen? You have to make that choice yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. I thank You for willingly laying down Your life as a servant King, to rescue us from ourselves, from our sin. And Lord, I thank You for paying that price that we owed. So Lord, I pray for this great group of people as we enter this Holy Week, that this whole week that we keep in mind all the things that You did so that we may have eternal life with You in the Father in heaven. Lord, I pray blessings upon each person that's here this morning. May their lives be blessed beyond measure. But may they leave here with more than a head knowledge of who you are, but a heart changed and yielded to your will. I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go in grace today. Love you all very much.